The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTXT, its management, Texas Tech University, or any living person. This is the Devil's Advocate.
Please allow me to introduce... Hello, everybody. This is Matthew Riley, and we are on the Devil's Advocate. Fortunately for this week, Dr. K will not be joining us. He had a bit of a heart attack due to the Republicans not being able to stop Obamacare and is currently unavailable right now. I'm glad you could all join us. As always, please join the conversation on Twitter, The Raider 881, and also on Facebook, /The Raider 881. So this week, we have a bunch of topics to get started on, but first, let me introduce my fellow speakers here. To my right, we have Jordan Legras, a fellow Irishman and also a IRA supporter, also a heavy Democrat. How you doing, Jordan?
Yikes. None of those things are accurate besides the Democrat thing. I wish I was an Ironman. The IRA is wrong. I am a lifelong Democrat. And of course, we should mention that Dr. K is actually fine. He is old, but as far as I know, his heart is still perfectly fine.
All right, and right in front of me we have Anna Lavis. How are you doing, Anna?
Anna Lavis. Well, we had about a 15-minute conversation on how my name is Anna Lavis, but still, you know,
more like a couple seconds in between each correction.
Yeah, you know. Anyways, I'm doing pretty good. I've been gone the past couple of weeks with heavy sickness and, you know, midterms and whatnot, but I'm here.
I know. Me and Dr. K were worried that you'd maybe taken up one of those dates on Twitter.
I was actually trying to register for Obamacare to see if I can handle this sickness, but I haven't been able to so far, so.
Why do you need health insurance? You can just pray the sickness away, right? Isn't that how that works?
Oh, here we go.
Alrighty, you guys are getting started. So Anna has kind of taken us into our first topic of today, which is Obamacare implementation plan. Now, to kind of give our viewers a background information, it seems that trying to get tech support on Obamacare hasn't worked out. The site is currently going through many, many difficulties on a system which took 3 years to produce and $500 million to advertise, yet zero people have signed up. So I'm just going to let you guys go at it. Let's not do that. Let's have somebody start off. If not, you'll keep interrupting each other. Let's see.
Let's see if Jordan can start out with some positivity, because there's not too much.
Absolutely. Obviously, the president was very open on Monday talking about the problems here, simply that the website isn't working the way it's supposed to. But it's not the idea. It's technical glitches. That's all it is. IT experts told the Wall Street Journal that the system was set up shakily, you know. And I take offense to what, you know, Dr. K sent us some stuff, and it's saying that, oh, it cost $400 million in 3 years to produce the site. But here's the problem. Most of 2012 and 2013 was spent waiting for the Supreme Court to rule if it was constitutional or not. Most of 2011 and 2012 was spent wondering if Mitt Romney and a new Republican Senate would overturn the law.
That didn't stop the process of getting
absolutely,
this side, right?
But it certainly does not.
What does your argument mean?
You're not going to go full throttle at something if you don't know it's actually going to happen. That just doesn't make sense. So obviously there were going to be glitches
there. $900 million, they did go full throttle.
I don't believe they did. I don't think there's any way they could have gone full throttle in putting this to the way it needed to be if they didn't know it was going to go through. If a professor says we might not have a test, are you going to spend 20 hours studying on it?
No, see, as a Republican, I go ahead and I prepare for the future, and so I probably would study.
Oh, please. If Republicans planned for the future, they would actually present a health care plan that rivals Obama. But it's about 4 years, 5-6 years since 2008, and we're still waiting for a Republican plan. When you can get a plan...
Because I'm sure it would be passed with a Democrat Senate and a Democrat president.
You never know. Hey, we wanted single payer. The Republicans didn't want it. We compromised. We passed Obamacare. We're still waiting for a plan. If you have something better, give it to us. Meanwhile, me as a Democrat, I don't like to see 45,000 people die each year because they don't have health insurance.
Golly, it's so morbid. You know,
it is morbid. That's the entire point of the argument, is that there are people in this country who die simply because they don't have health care. And so, you know what? If a little website has a little glitch and it takes takes some time for people to sign up. Who cares if it eventually means that they get affordable health care?
I don't know why the majority of Americans have to suffer to handle these, what is that percent, like 11%? Or is it 21% of people that are not covered by health care? I don't know why they have to be penalized for these stupid glitches.
So you mean to tell me 45,000 lives mean nothing to you? That's not a very Christian belief.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. This is why I stick to international issues. Quite frankly, as you can see, things are already getting heated. Anna, how about I help you out here? How about, as you can see, did you read those sources that Dr. K provided you? Because several of these sources, they mentioned, especially these starting out, that the Obamacare site would have issues. I believe in Florida, even Marco Rubio has tried to implement legislation that would delay Obamacare for till the system got fixed. Any thoughts on that?
Okay, I'm sorry, I was dozing off. What did you say?
Well, Marco Rubio tried to pass legislation in Florida to see if he could stem the tide of Obamacare there till the problems would get fixed. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, I think absolutely that they need to extend the six-month enrollment period to at least March 31st because, I mean, otherwise you're going to be heavily penalized for that. And why should Americans be penalized for the government's inability to get a website rolling?
Surprisingly enough, we actually agree on that. I am perfectly in favor of delaying the deadline before the individual mandate penalty kicks in.
Just like all of businesses,
since there
right?
isn't. Well, there's been glitches, so for each month that the website isn't running fully, it should be extended. That's common sense. But you see, of course, most of the time, Republicans don't deal in common sense. They deal in fantasy land, which is so sad because the country is suffering for it.
Absolute. Oh, man. I mean, you know what, Jordan? I'm actually going to give you the benefit of doubt. I would love to see how Obamacare really is going to play out. Just for my own personal entertainment, because obviously, you know, we're not going to be able to stop it.
Well, it's been fascinating because we already have success stories among all these glitches. There was a great piece on FoxNews.com a couple of days ago where a Fox News contributor, let me repeat that again, a Fox News contributor signed up for Obamacare, found a plan where she could save thousands of dollars already. We already have success stories. Of course, Republicans, but Republicans being the good Christian people they are, they hate seeing people get health care.
You know, I don't know if I trust the media, obviously, but let me just tell you.
You don't trust Fox News? That's like your Bible. That's your network.
No, the Bible is actually my Bible.
Yikes.
Y'all missed it earlier. We were in here for about an hour before the show. And I mean, Jordan and I literally have like sparred to the death about religion. So.
Spar, Jesus. It was like World War II, except no trenches and more machine guns.
At least I have guns, you know, so I can protect myself.
I don't know. Lord.
Anyways, I would like to give you an anecdote of reality. So my friend's mother, who is a part-time professor at Tarrant County College in Arlington, Texas. Okay, so she has personally been paying for her own health care, in which she had a premium of about $235 per month. She enrolled on Friday for Obamacare, and it has gone up to $535 for her personally. Now, that does not include her child, who is my age, who, once again, we all know the millennials are the ones that are going to take the hit of the higher premium. So what do you think about that, Jordan? I mean, that's reality. I mean, that's not even like, I'm not sugarcoating it. That's not even a partisan argument. That's just reality.
That isn't reality, though, because you're not giving me all the facts. I have no idea. Okay. What she was paying $235 for might be half of the coverage of she's getting now, paying $535. Unless you actually literally hand me both plans and say, here, look at it, and this is how much they're paying, I can't do anything with that. You're not giving me all the information.
I'm saying she took the comparable Obamacare plan, the one that is parallel to the one that she previously had, and it went up to $500.
Okay, and then the second point is, well, then why did she do that? The entire point...
Because she has to.
Says who?
The government.
The government doesn't say that. The point, the entire thing has been, if you like the insurance you have, you can keep it. Who specifically told her that she had to get rid of the insurance plan she already had?
Her insurance company, which is pressured by the government.
Oh, please. That's okay. And then you know what? You know how we could have solved that problem? If we had a single payer system where the government paid for everything and you didn't have to go through private insurance, we wouldn't have this problem. But guess what? The Republicans didn't want that. So at the end of the day, if she's paying $250 more, she still has the Republicans to blame, which I'm pretty sure she's not using the system properly because there has to be a better plan out there for her.
I wonder why she's not, because it seems seems as simple.
Exactly. Hey, well, she can call up the toll line, and I'm sure somebody will be willing to
number?
Help you.
What's that number?
I don't have the number right off.
Isn't it like 1-800?
1-800-GOVERNMENT-HELP-ME, I believe. I don't know. Something along that line.
Hey, guess what? If you don't have health insurance and you're struggling to make ends meet, I'm pretty sure you'll be willing to find the phone number and call it.
All right. With that, I think we're going to take a quick break here and see if we can cool off just a bit. Ooh.
Do we have these?
What's up?
Do we have these?
Children.
welcome back to the Devil's Advocate. I'm Matthew Riley. If you are just joining us right now, please feel free to join us on social media. That is on Twitter, the Raider 881, or on Facebook, / Raider 881. Before the break, we were discussing the Obamacare implementation. Jordan, I believe that during the break, you mentioned that there was something you wanted to say and felt strongly about.
I do. I have a little mini rant to go on.
Another one?
As a loyal Texas Tech supporter, we all know that we play Oklahoma on Saturday.
God bless.
And as a loyal Texas Tech fan and an honorary Texan, I hate Oklahoma just about as much as anyone can. And thankfully, their senator, good old Jim Inhofe, has given me a even greater reason to hate them. They elected a man who this weekend said that if he had been under Obamacare, he would not have been able to have been treated for his severe clogged arteries he had that was found during a colonoscopy. And I just think he is a sad excuse for a government official because he's spreading propaganda and lies. Just like I said before the break, 45,000 people a year die because they don't have health insurance. And this idiot, because that's what he is, he's an idiot, on his government health plan that he gets for being a senator, gets treatment, and suddenly he's going to spread lies and say that he wouldn't have gotten it if he was under Obamacare. That's absurd. It's stupid.
It's a hypothesis.
It's stupid because we know for a fact he has government health care as a senator. We know for a fact that Obamacare isn't government health care. It's through private insurance companies. So to insinuate that people are going to die if they're under Obamacare is nothing but fear-mongering. We know the opposite is true. We know that 45,000 people die because of insurance. And yes, I'm going to keep saying that because it's an appalling statistic that something should be done about.
Well, let me just say this. Often the argument about health care is that Republicans do not care about that large number you just said. And I don't know why people say that, because I'm a Republican and I do care about that. I have never said that our healthcare system is not broken in some way. But I don't understand why we can't let the private sector handle this, private insurers handle this. This is not a federal government. I don't know why you the thing with the Democrats are is that the federal government always has to come in and save our lives, which it's not plausible at all.
The private sector has had since 1776 to get this right. We've been running on private health insurance since this country was founded. How much longer? We earlier were discussing the economy, and you said, how long do we have to give the president before we start blaming him? How long do we have to give the private insurance companies before we start blaming them? You yourself just admitted that the system was broken. The private health insurance companies got us to this broken system. They're not going to fix it because they're still making boatloads of money.
It's an American pastime, privatization, apparently.
Well, I'm just saying here, the Republicans have not been in office, obviously, since 2008. So we haven't had the legislation we needed to help fix it.
That's saying it lightly. No, just call it like it is. You haven't had anything. You've been so busy just hating everything the president does simply because he's President Barack Obama that you've offered us nothing. You have literally given us nothing in response.
I think during that government shutdown, we offered several
You offered nothing to do with healthcare, though. You simply said, we're not going to fund Obamacare.
Actually, we did on the very last day. We said, if the federal employees go under Obamacare, then they will pass some type of bill, right? And that was shut down immediately.
Okay, so you're doing
so
that.
So back to the senator thing about the Oklahoma senator. The Republicans basically put forth legislation for congressmen and women to go under Obamacare so that everyone has the same benefits with that, right? And that was shot down by who?
You still haven't answered my question. What have y'all offered for the nation as a whole? Senators already have a pretty good healthcare plan. Okay, we know that. Jim Inhofe has already admitted that because he survived, apparently, which he wouldn't have under Obamacare, which is absurd. Okay, what have Republicans offered for the nation?
I could sit here right now and Google a million, ways the Republicans have come up with trying to save this healthcare system.
Yeah, it'll be
the fact of the matter is we don't live in a utopia. At the end of the day, not every single human being is going to be covered because you have those lazy people out there that don't go out and get jobs and are not covered. I mean, that's just at the end of the day.
That is so st- stupid.
I mean, paint me the picture. Paint me the picture. What is it that you want? Like, what is the biggest success that y'all could have?
I want
it be this?
I want someone who has worked a job their entire life.
I want to tell you something. I don't want to work my... you know what off, because we're on FCC, I'm not going to say the word. I'm just saying I'm not going to work as hard as I do in college so that I can get out and have to pay for those individuals that did not go to college, that do not have a good job because they're lazy, because they have an addiction, because they have something not my issue.
But then what happens
my
when
premiums
you get,
go up for them?
What happens then when you get your good job, but then you get laid off and you lose your employer health insurance suddenly you have to pay for everything? Or what happens when you've worked all your life, you've paid your premiums, and then suddenly you get in a car accident, and the insurance company decides that they're going to use a legal loophole to suddenly not pay your claims.
I think you know that that's not the reality of the situation.
That is the reality. You're right. It's not the reality anymore because Obamacare made that illegal. Thank you, President Obama.
You know what? The only thing that I probably have the biggest issue with is pre-existing conditions. I understand. I think that's where it was broken. I think that's where Republicans agree, and we actually do support the Obamacare in that sense. And we
it's
don't
hard to know it. Your elected officials certainly don't.
No, that's not true.
In fact, actually, yes, the Republicans actually do enjoy it when they can ask for money from it, as there have been countless Republican representatives and senators who have gone back home and asked for money under Obamacare, and then when they've gotten it, they've taken credit for it, because the Republicans are not the party of people. They're the party of politics and money. They're all greedy.
All right, Joe. All right,
obviously.
All right, guys. Let's settle down just a bit. Let's try switching up the topic to see if we can get into a deeper discussion before this devolves into a religious discussion, hopefully. So, in regards to Obamacare, since it's currently going to get passed, what do you guys think is the future from Republican perspective and Democrat perspective? Anna, what do you think since Obamacare is going to get passed, what do you think the future is for? How do you think Republicans are going
to
handle this?
I think we're going to continue to see roadblocks such as I'm not saying the glitches. I understand. I mean, if I'm being realistic here, I understand that there's going to be issues with the technology side, I suppose. But I think as it goes on, when it starts to work, when it starts to implement, it's just going to fail, because you can't expect young, because I keep going back to the young individuals, because the rates, the premium rates are lowered for the older individuals, who are the ones usually probably not as healthy, right? Is that true? Okay. So it's going to be our generation to handle that. I think it'll be interesting, because it's not that easy to get employed these days, is it?
All right, so Jordan, let me ask from your perspective, since your party did manage to get this passed. From your perspective, I mean, what do you see the future is going on with Obamacare? Do you see it going through even more hiccups? Do you see it as it's going to be smooth sailings? I mean, I'm just generally curious. What do you think? How's this gonna play out?
Well, obviously, the first thing is to get the website fixed. But once that's fixed, I think we're going to see a success. There was a great online piece I read recently. I think it's by Ezra Klein. I'm not sure. Where he made the great point that if Republicans truly thought that Obamacare would fail, they would let it run. Because they would take the failure, they would run on it in elections, and then they'd retake the House in 2014, they'd retake the presidency in 2016. Republicans are fighting this so hard because they know it's going to be
a
success.
That's a political strategy.
It's going to be a success, and so they don't want the Democrats to be able to take the credit for it.
What you just suggested there is that we actually didn't take the political strategy. We actually took the representation of the people. So,
absolutely not. Side. Absolutely
yeah,
not.
They have, because this whole argument about this whole government shutdown, everything that just happened, was because our legislative body actually listened to the people, who overwhelmingly do not feel that positive about Obamacare. Is that not true?
The president was reelected in a campaign where Republicans made that one of the main focuses.
Don't get me
and the only reason Republicans won the House of Representatives is gerrymandering, as anyone who actually pays attention to what happens knows. Democrats actually got more votes in the House of Representatives, but due to gerrymandering, the Republicans
won. The whole tide of our society is changing, which I have been outspoken about this since the beginning, because our society has come to the point where we need incentives to good to do anything. We need the food. I mean, tell me about the food stamp situation. How's that going? Because that has just been astronomical since Obama's taken office.
Yes, because when he took over, we were in a massive recession, and food stamps always goes up in a recession. That's common sense.
The recession's
done. When
people
lose their jobs and things are going down.
I personally know someone on food stamps and how easy it was for that person to get on that and how much they did not need that. It's just, I just know too much personally about the system that it makes me just disgusted in how our society lives day to day. And
you're judging an entire society, 350 million some odd people, by one person. Way to go.
No, I'm not saying that. That makes perfect sense. No, I'm just saying that as a majority, Our country has been changing, and I think now we're kind of taking a step back and kind of seeing that, oh, this doesn't really work to have the federal government take care of everything.
That's so absurd. You have no proof to do that. You're literally basing your entire...
All of your arguments have been the exact same. You are literally basing every single
person who receives food stamps assistance on one person that you know. That's absurd.
I mean, if you'd like me to pull up the number of statistics of people on food stamps is out in the open. I mean, I don't know. That's not...
Because there are people that actually need it. You yourself just said that it's difficult to find a job. And so what do you need when you can't find a job? Oh, you need food. And let me tell you something.
So if
you can't afford food, you're definitely not going to be able to get yourself to a job interview now, will you? It's a vicious cycle. You essentially want people to work, yet you don't want to provide them with the tools that allow them to work.
I think the very best representation of how I've been feeling about it all is in Louisiana, actually, when the Walmart, you know, the food stamp system went down, and those people that spent thousands of dollars on ridiculous items because no one was watching, because all of a sudden the system shut down and now they can take advantage.
Absolutely.
That completely represents what's been going on.
Are there terrible people in the world who take advantage of systems? Absolutely. How about we talk about corporate welfare and all the oil companies out there that take advantage of these loopholes to save millions of dollars while they gouge us on gas prices, okay?
There are terrible
people in all walks of life. But to suddenly demonize everybody that's on food stamps because of certain people that do bad things is idiotic. Food stamps serve a purpose.
All right, guys. Well, it looks like we've beaten this topic to death pretty well. So we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to switch on the discussion to even more fun stuff. Hope you stay with us.
My life like this, no tomorrow.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Devil's Advocate. I'm Matthew Riley, and I'm here with Anna and Jordan. Right now, I feel that we've kind of beaten the Obamacare implementation to death. So we're gonna switch topics right now. We're gonna talk about the federal trial that started on Monday in Austin over House Bill 2 regulating abortion provider. As you may remember, this was the bill that Wendy Davis tried to filibuster against. Now, opponents are claiming that it was unconstitutional in that it makes it more difficult for women seeking abortion, or men, I suppose, if you want to consider it that, to actually get the abortion. Other people are saying that, of course, it's just simply another way to attempt to make it safer. So, guys, I'm going to let you just get straight into it. Last time I had Anna start off, so this time, Jordan, how about you take it first?
No, I believe Anna has a point she's eager to make. Let's hear this.
All right, Anna.
Let me just start out by saying social issues are always on the backside of my political agenda. But this summer, I got very passionately involved in this issue because I was so incredibly irritated by the fact that Wendy Davis said that she was speaking for women because she's not speaking for how I feel about abortion. Number one, intrinsically, I am pro-life, but I do understand that pro-choice can be left to the state. So Jordan, I'm sure that surprises you, but I'm going to go ahead and say that
everybody, Jordan's nodding here in the background.
I mean, nothing surprises me.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But anyways, but I got so impassioned by this because I honestly cannot see the other side and why people think that what Wendy Davis said and stood for was plausible, was right.
So you're in favor of gouging Texas women who want to get an abortion, because earlier you said that it was about making it safer. Safer is actually just a code word for more expensive, because that's all this bill does. It literally just makes abortions that much more expensive.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does.
The big argument is that these clinics are angry because they have to be within 30 miles of a hospital. But why do you think that's
and
so?
You also
because
have
if
to have,
the mother's
you,
life becomes...
You also have to have doctors who have admitting privileges at those things. You have to upgrade to become an ambulatory surgical center.
Which makes these it are... safer for the mother whose life can be at stake. If something were to go wrong during that abortion, how can they save that woman's life?
Oh, guess what? This is a problem that doesn't exist. Because how often do you hear about this? Oh, you don't, because it doesn't happen. Let me tell you, do you really want to know why this bill passed? Do you know that Rick Perry has a sister? Okay. Do you know that she's on the board for a company that runs doctor-owned surgery clinics? So guess who's set to make a hell of a lot of money off of this law? That's right, Rick Perry's sister, because the corporation that she's part of that owns these clinics is now going to make a killing.
I'm not even going to try to defend something so stupid as that, because I'm saying if I objectively look at what this bill proposed and what it passed, because it did overwhelmingly pass, all those measures taken are for the safety of the woman.
This is not an issue, though. It was not an unsafe procedure to begin with.
Abortion's not an unsafe procedure.
Not the way it's been done in Texas. Objectively, when you look at this, you realize that this was Rick Perry saying that my sister making money is more important than the health of women in Texas. That's all it is.
No, that's not. I mean, if that was true, that would have been all over the media.
Oh, no, of course it's not.
Yeah,
of course it's not.
The Texas Tribune would definitely have run that story.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
please.
The Statesman.
Of course not. No, of course they're not going to run that story, because who wants to make the governor mad at them? That makes perfect sense.
Well, why hasn't Wendy Davis brought it to light then?
Trust me, it will eventually.
Oh.
It'll come out. Trust me. Why would she? She's already going to be attacked. She's already been called Abortion Barbie. Is that a nickname you agree with?
Do you want to go ahead and talk about all the nasty things that were said at
Here
the Capitol this summer?
About who?
About Republicans. That was a disgusting display of protests that went down.
Oh, God. Actually, yes, of course you're a Republican, so you hate democracy. You don't want people actually.
No, I like democracy.
So apparently,
you just brought up that Wendy Davis's little nickname.
Okay, so
I didn't bring that up.
I'm just saying,
if you want to play that side, I can play my card too.
It's okay for Republicans to go out to the White House with racist signs and Confederate flags. That's them.
You create these arguments that are just so untrue. I did not say that.
You just said it was a disgusting form.
It was disgusting.
Okay, so what made it disgusting? Was it because it was just a thing that you didn't agree with?
I can pull up all the things that were said. I mean, just a disgusting. There were condoms there being thrown.
How is that disgusting?
That being thrown, condoms being thrown at.
If they're in wrappers, who the hell cares? Knowing our congressman, they could probably use them.
Well, I forgot that you might not have a moral code, so I.
Oh, I have a moral code. Thankfully, mine is based on actual real life experiences and not an imaginary guy in the sky.
Oof. I knew this was going to divulge into religion. So let's get sort of back on track. So, Anna, what would you recommend be done about this bill specifically? Do you see it as being too hurtful, as Jordan may have mentioned, or do you believe that it should be slightly tweaked or just completely removed?
I don't think it should be tweaked at all. I think it's 100% fine, which, once again, public opinion stated that and has shown that. I see the Democrat side that it makes it more difficult now for a woman to go get an abortion, but... Here we go. I just would like for you, Jordan, at some point to go look what a fetus looks like. I'm just saying, it's a full grown baby at 22 weeks, which is what that's why that's gone.
That's so stupid, though, because that's not the debate we're having. I don't care about
that was the majority of the bill.
I don't care about your opinion of the morality of abortion. I don't care about my own opinion about the morality of abortion, which might actually surprise you. All I care about is the law. Once again, I don't know what it is with Republicans and wanting to fight fights that they've already lost, but they lost this fight 40 years ago. Roe v. Wade is law. Abortion is legal. The Supreme Court has already decided
that. It is legal,
so
but
that
it should be safe for women to get it.
It was already safe. This was not a problem that existed. This bill exists only to make Rick Perry's sister money. That's the only reason it exists.
It is not safe for a woman to go in at 20. I mean, it's still legal for a woman to go at 20 weeks to go get an abortion, but it's not by any means a safe procedure to do that. You're taking a full-grown fetus pretty much out of a woman. So then
what you're just saying right then is that if you actually take it to an ambulatory surgery center, you're not going to make it any safer.
No, it is safer because you have doctors that have an expertise in this and know how to save a woman's life if for some reason it goes awry.
And so you think they're just taking...
Planned Parenthood... It does not have the expertise.
Are you kidding me right now? So you think they just take homeless people off the side of the road to do these procedures? Do you actually understand how Planned Parenthood works?
I don't think that the prestige of being a doctor, or not the prestige, I'm sorry, the expertise of a doctor is going to go to a Planned Parenthood. That's probably not their dream job, to go to Planned Parenthood to give women abortions.
One that has... How do you know that? You don't. Exactly. You are the typical Republican. You say things that you have no way of knowing. It's lovely. It's fantastic. This is why this country is the way it is.
I mean, I can say the exact same thing about you.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
You have said things throughout this entire program
First of all,
that have
been... I understand that that abortion is only one of many things that Planned Parenthood does. I understand that abortion is a safe procedure the way it's done right now, and I understand that this bill was passed only because Rick Perry wants to make his sister money. He doesn't care about the sanctity of life. He doesn't care about women's health. He cares about money.
Okay, let's just say we have a hypothetical situation then, Jordan, if you want to actually, like, you know, divulge into the whole issue. So let's say that I'm out in post-Texas getting an abortion, right? And something goes wrong, and that doctor who performed that abortion does not have the specialty to handle my life. Do you think I have enough time to get to
really
Lubbock?
You really don't think that doctor's not going to know what to do? Paramedics.
Paramedics
are given training to know what to do in life or death situations. So clearly that person that's going to be entrusted to do this procedure is going to know what to do.
I'm just saying here, there's obviously flaws in the abortion issue, and that's why it was brought up. And that's
why Texas.
Then perhaps you should move to Washington. I mean, it seems your liberal agenda socially, you'd probably be better off in Washington, you'd probably be better off in California and all those places. But Texas is a conservative state. And whatever you're saying is, let's say that abortions are completely safe, at least we're taking a stance.
That's so stupid. You're taking a stance that's against the law. You're
that's
taking
not against
a stance.
The law.
You're taking
what we
a stance.
Did is not against the
you're
law.
Taking a stance that's doing absolutely nothing
no,
but
is,
making more abortions more difficult.
Federalism.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that me being a liberal Democrat meant that I couldn't love Texas. Clearly, if I didn't love Texas, I wouldn't be
well,
here.
We
I
were
think
complaining
that's a,
about our
I
legislature.
I think that's a new law. Yes, because they're making bad choices.
Apparently, abortion completely upsets you.
They're
the
making
law.
Bad choices.
Speaking of a Republican taking a stance, I think I'm going to switch up the topic here a bit. I don't know if you guys heard, but recently New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, he recently allowed gay marriage to go and pass in the state of New Jersey. I was just thinking that since we were divulging into this argument, I mean, I thought it would be great for you guys to kind of give your two cents on it.
I think it's a brilliant move from the governor. Obviously, it's the right move to make. Gay marriage should be legal everywhere, and his opposition to it was idiotic, as he pretty much admitted. He was going to lose, and so it was wise of him to just step out of the way. And of course, I think, you know, those on the far right like to say that this will hurt him in his aspirations for 2016, but I think the opposite. I think this actually helps him, because as we all know, moderates win elections. Far right Republicans, far left Democrats don't decide elections, because we already know how they're going to vote. Everyone knows how I'm going to vote in 2016. I'm going to vote Democrat regardless of who the Republican nominee is.
But such an intelligent argument,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, because I know right away that they're going to be the people that
what
I
if Abraham
that
Lincoln
I side
was a...
with. Depends on who is running against. If he's running against FDR, I'm voting for FDR. If he's running,
you
against...
would vote for FDR over Abraham Lincoln?
Absolutely, any day of the week.
Why?
Absolutely. They both have their strong points. Listen, if the next Republican nominee was half of what Abe Lincoln was, this country would be a lot better place. But no, we're stuck with a bunch of Ronald Reagan wannabes, not Abe Lincolns. Anyway, as I was saying, Chris Christie he's running, he's making, the moderates are going to like him. And you know what? I actually like Chris Christie. If Chris Christie is elected president in 2016, I don't think that's such a bad thing. Plus, we both share a love for Bruce Springsteen, which makes me happy.
Let me give you some food for thought, Jordan. Do you think let me switch this over to Anna. Anna, being a Republican, do you think this may hurt him in the primaries? Do you think this has hurt his chances with Republicans, his base sort of going out and voting for him? I mean, what do you think the Republican view is on this?
I think it's an interesting topic, and it's interesting for me because the Tea Party movement really is kind of ripping a tide in the Republican Party. Not ripping a tide, but there's definite dissension in our party. I think Chris Christie represents someone that has taken a more moderate stance. I actually personally like Chris Christie, and I was just telling y'all before this how I have written an op-ed that I've sent in to the Star-Telegram about how I just think our country's partisanship, our polarization is outrageous. I think that's completely what's hurting our country. So if it takes having a more moderate Republican, someone that supports something I personally don't know if I do or not, then so be it. Because I think our country at this point needs some type of unification, and maybe not having someone so polarized like Ted Cruz would maybe help. I mean, it's something that needs to be studied more, I think. But
let's call Ted Cruz what he is. He's a nut job.
I personally like Ted Cruz as well. I think he does stand for someone on principle, but I'm over the polarization of our country. I really am. I'm tired of it. And I say this coming because George Washington is my favorite president, and he spoke strongly against partisanship and not creating political parties exactly for this reason. You see how it's been working in the past couple of years. It's not well. There's constant gridlock, constant anger. You know, me and you can't even have a conversation without being in a huge fight. So,
better chance for peace in the Middle East than in this radio station.
No, yeah, honestly, it's like we always talk about racism and all that, those issues in our current society. But really, there's an issue with prejudice and political parties. You meet someone that's different than you, and you automatically have this whole idea of who they are, which is just not true. I mean, I have friends that are Democrats, and I like them just as much. We just have a different way of living life. And I just think that we need to go back to the times in which we lived in peace.
I'm sorry, but I just think that is such a Republican cop-out. Because no, it's true. Because you're
It's not.
No, it is. Because you're going to sit here and say that we need to have more peace and that we need to not have partisan gridlock, but it's your party doing it. Remind me, how many times was the government shut down under George W. Bush?
I mean, Jordan, I'm not.
No, how many times was the government
shut
down under George W.
Bush? I'm not going to sit here.
How many times was the government shut down under George W. Bush?
Several times.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't shut down. Zero. It was shut down zero. When was the last government shut down before this? Oh, in the mid-90s. Who was president then? Bill Clinton. What party was he? He was a Democrat. I'm sorry. You hate partisan gridlock. I hate both sidesism. I hate the idea that suddenly any time in this country there's a political problem that suddenly we have to find some way to blame both sides. No. You blame the
person who's responsible. No, Jordan, throughout this whole government shutdown, everything, I have been very outspoken that it's both sides need to calm down and figure it out.
No, that's part of the problem. It's not both sides. If we're taking the government shutdown as an example, that was 100% the Republicans.
Here you go. You're pulling me into the partisan argument. Okay, by you doing that, I can definitely sit here and I can find ways to say the same thing about the Democrat side and how Obama did not compromise at all.
I don't want to get pulled into this argument.
I'm saying that both Democrats, both Republicans did not find a way, a solution, a compromise throughout this.
And I'm telling you, you're wrong. I'm telling you, you're wrong. You are literally 100% wrong. The Democrats were not to blame in any way, shape, or form during the government shutdown. But I keep saying, you don't negotiate with terrorists. They wanted us to repeal something that was already law. And because we weren't doing it, they shut down the government. They weren't happy just putting their bills in and letting the democratic process run through. They actually shut down the government. Republicans are 100%
Jordan,
to blame for that.
No, the House Republicans did put forth several bills, and Obama refused to even look at it. They would not negotiate with us.
Every single bill they put through completely defunded Obamacare. Of course we're not going to agree to that. We told them from the very beginning that we were not going to agree to that.
It didn't completely defund it. One of them was just move it back. Why don't we get
right
the same
thing? Right at the last minute when they knew that was the only way that they might get a tiny bit of victory out of it.
It doesn't matter. It was still before. Do you remember the
Republican congressman who said that Republicans had to win something out of this government shutdown? He didn't know what it was, but somebody had to win? That's ridiculous. I'm sorry, but you have to call a spade a spade. Republicans, if you hate partisan gridlock in this country right now, then you hate the Republican Party because they're the ones to blame for it.
It's so difficult to argue with you because I'm right.
No,
because you always pull me in to the argument I'm not trying to have.
I should understand.
Those are fighting words. It's like if you're in a soccer game, you get punched in the face, you're going to go punch him back, even though you know that's wrong. I'm telling you that I'm tired of both sides having this animosity and these hate-driven conversations over, it's just so stupid.
And what I'm telling you is that I don't live in a fantasy world.
Exactly, which is why I think Obamacare sucks.
I live in a world with actual issues.
You live in a world in which every single person can have health care.
All I know is that the issues right now in this country as they stand, the reason we have such partisan gridlock is because of the Republicans. How many times on every single thing, we've already negotiated on Obamacare. We went from single payer to the system we have now.
Not one Republican.
How many times have we acquiesced on things that Republicans wanted? Tax cuts, gun control, everything. The Democrats are not to blame here.
All right, I don't mean to cut you guys short, but we're going to take a quick break here, cool off, and talk about some my personal favorite international issues. Please join us.
Leave me be. Take your love and give it my soul.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Devil's Advocate. Once again, I'm Matthew Riley here with Anna and Jordan. We've been, as you listeners have clearly heard, we've been debating a lot about domestic issues. Now we're going to switch over to something a bit more peaceful, something all Americans don't know about, which is, you've guessed it, international issues, which is funny to me because my area of expertise happens to be international issues. So when Anna and Jordan are yelling at each other, I tend to sit back, try to moderate as best as I can. But when it comes to international issues, you name it, I'm all about that. I'm all against opposing Israeli, opposing Israel. I mean, Jordan's laughing over here. He knows my rant on President Benjamin. I'm all for supporting President Vladimir Putin. But today we're going to...
Why?
I just...
Here we go. Now I'm about to get involved in international politics.
All right.
I don't like Putin.
One day.
Putin is not my buddy.
Of course you're not, because you still live in the 1980s when the Soviet Union is our biggest enemy.
Putin doesn't like homosexuals, Jordan. And I
yes,
know
that
and that, so, I know that you're so for gay marriage. So.
I didn't even have to do anything.
And you know what?
Argument right now.
And you know what? That is something we agree on. I think Russia's anti-gay law is absolutely
disgusting.
Horrendous. It's awful.
All right, guys.
If you're listening, Putin, do something about this.
Putin,
you're making a mockery of the rest of the world.
He's currently at the Duma right now, trying to string his dogs around. So anyways, we're going, specifically the issue we're going to talk about is apparently France is rather miffed at the United States over, apparently it has been spying on its citizens. This information came from apparently our whatever you would like to call him, our Dark Knight or our Benedict Arnold, Edward Snowden. Apparently he's giving
nice phrasing there.
Apparently he has given France the information that the United States has been spying on them. President Francois, am I saying that right, Jordan?
Yes.
Francois Hollande has had a call with President Barack Obama to discuss sort of this the implications of it all. And I just, what do you guys think? Because to me, this is fascinating. On the one hand, you have the United States trying to stem global terrorism, but at the other time, you could almost argue that in a very famous Chinese political way, you could claim that this is violating the sovereignty of countries which are supposed allies of the United States. What are you guys' thoughts on this?
I think you hit, you know, the nail on the head. This scares me because I don't think there's a lot of terrorist activity going on in France. I don't think there are Al-Qaeda freedom fighters sitting around eating baguettes, you know, planning the destruction of the West. So what exactly is it we're spying on in France? That's what scares me. And it leads me to believe that things are not as kosher with this program as, admittedly, the Obama administration would like us to believe. If we're spying on France, what are we spying on here at home? Well, which just reiterates my point that Edward Snowden is not a traitor, but in fact, probably the proudest of Americans.
Well, I kind of agree with you about I don't think that we should have been getting involved with France or anyone in the international community. I think what the NSA did at home is a different story. I still don't know how I feel about that. But as far as France is concerned, I don't think that's our territory, and I understand why the president is not happy about that.
Well, let me try and give you guys some persuasion. As you may or may not have known, France has been going through severe immigration issue, especially through the in southern France, where many immigrants from North Africa have snuck into the country due to the civil war currently going on. Immigrants from Syria, Libya, Egypt, countries which are currently going through a rather political turmoil, have fled France, Italy, even recently, boats full of immigrants sank off the coast of Italy. But this could be viewed as the United States possibly checking on southern France in order to see if any Al-Qaeda operatives enter the country, possibly set up regional destabilization efforts. What do you guys say to that?
Yeah, but where do we draw the line? Are we going to allow European countries to spy on us because of
the cartels
coming in from Mexico that might funnel drugs to them in Europe? I mean, to me, it's always a point of what would we allow to happen to us? I wouldn't want the French government spying on us for dubious reasons. And I feel like right now, even with the immigration influx, it's not like we're dealing with France that has a government that's completely incompetent. Heck, their government might be even more competent than ours. So I believe they can handle this. so that we're running in and spying on them. That worries me.
Anna, I heard something over there. What was that?
I think America has the greatest country on earth, and I think even Obama's government is better than any other government.
That's such a stupid way of thinking.
Why are you mad about that?
That's such a stupid way of thinking. Just because you love something doesn't mean you have to suddenly say it's right all the time.
It's unconditional.
That's so stupid. No wonder you believe in God.
I personally believe the greatest country on the earth, ladies and gentlemen, has to be the former... Oh, wait, no. I was about to say Soviet Union. I meant Russia. Excuse me very much. And with that, folks, we are done for today. Thank you for joining us on The Devil's Advocate. We will see you soon. Bye-bye now.
I reckon.